to truly believe in the magic.
What's up, Magic fans? I'm Geraint, and welcome to this week's episode of Let's Talk Magic, an Orlando Magic podcast. We're recording this episode on Thursday, the 30th of November. On today's episode, we're going to be joined by one of our patrons, Mr. Angus Craig. We'll also be recapping the wins over the Hornets and the Wizards. We'll also take a look at how the in-season tournament has panned out now that all of East Group C have finished. And we'll look ahead to the week's games. Today's episode is brought to you in association with Attraction Tickets. They're the UK's number one attraction, ticket and theme park hotel provider for Disney, SeaWorld and Universal Studios. They also sell Orlando Magic tickets at competitive prices. When planning your next holiday to Orlando, please check out Attraction Tickets using our link in the description to purchase all your tickets to all of Orlando's major theme parks, attractions, shows, and sporting events. You can also visit Let's Talk Magic for all of our affiliate links and discount codes, including the NBA store and Fanatics. So without further ado, let's get the guys in. First of all, the first Patreon member for Let's Talk Magic, Mr. Angus Craig. How are we, Angus?
Fine and dandy, Geraint. It's a good time to be an Orlando Magic fan at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. The media's talking about us. I was about to say, it's like the League of Nations tonight, isn't it?
Yep.
Scotland, England, and Wales.
Yep.
Look at this.
And an Northerner as well. Proper.
Ish.
And we've got Paul in for a slice of bacon tonight.
Absolutely. I'm very well, my friend, very well. And in honour of Angus and it being St. Andrew's Day today, I did feel I had to partake of a single malt. So just raising one for our friends all north of the border there.
Nice one.
Yeah, too. Good, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you, mate. Yeah, just had a bit of a busy week, Christmas decorations up, whatnot, you know.
You do know it's still November. When we're recording this, you do know it's still November.
I know. But literally on Sunday is my birthday, obviously, and the wife wasn't very well. She got a chest infection. One of the children also has. So they're just there, just lounging in front of the television. So what have I got to do? Go and get the Christmas decorations, put them all out just to keep them happy. So,
Trooper. There's a reason behind it. I can let you slip with that one, mate.
We'll let you away with that one last time.
Yeah, but it is a little bit early, isn't it? But there we go. Have you put yours up, guys?
No. Not till December.
No.
So tomorrow, no. Angus, or is it a weekend job?
It'll be when I'm pestered by the wife and the child.
You will probably be sort of towards the end of the week next weekend.
Yeah. Good stuff. So before we continue, we'd like to give a shout out to all our patrons as we do every week, just to acknowledge who support the show. As you know, we've just mentioned Angus Craig, first patron member. We'd also like to thank Ollie Law, Gary Clark, Dylan Holden, Alan Kane, Tom Sohn, Mark Joss, Sean Moore, Drum Drum, Drummy Drum Drum, Paolo and Franz Warm, Leon Radbourne, Andy Lindley, and Stuart Benzies. What's that, Paul? Is it drums?
I love drum. Yeah, I love that. It's so good.
I'm pretty sure he's done that to wind you up a bit.
I think he has. But I'm always the one who reads it out absolutely proper to what he's asked. So, we do appreciate it. Thanks to everyone, you know, supports the shows. If you're interested yourself in supporting the show, please visit our Patreon. We've got three tiers available, the Anderson, the O'Neill and the McGrady with varying benefits. So that's patreon.com/letstalkmagic to join today. So without further ado, we'll get cracking with our first section. So magic news. So obviously the boys last recorded on the 25th of November. Since then, the Magic have played just the two games against the Charlotte Hornets on Sunday and the Washington Wizards last night. Before then, we need to talk about the in-season tournament now that the group stages are over with. If you're watching on YouTube, you might see a few little glum faces. But essentially, we needed a few favours in order to to qualify. And, you know, the odds were in our favour. You know, we needed either a Toronto Raptor win, which would have nullified any sort of issue with regard to the points, or we needed the Brooklyn Nets to win by less than 13, which happened. It was only a 12-point win for them. But unfortunately, the Boston Celtics beat the Chicago Bulls by 27 when they needed to beat them by 23. So unfortunately for us, the Celtics advance as the group winners on this occasion. And the Magic also miss out on the best second place team. I think the New York Knicks, and in fairness, they finished rather emphatically, didn't they? They had like a plus 40 something.
43, something like that. Huge advantage. Yeah, you can't argue with them going through, really.
Oh, no, absolutely not. First of all, guys, just wanted to get your opinion on you know, the format and everything the in-season tournament's been all about. What was your thoughts, Angus?
I like the idea of the tournament. It's another incentive to play games, and there's a prize at the end. It's always some. Same here. There are teams that are less likely to win the whole thing. So if you give them the incentive to win a cup or something like that, it means it makes every game meaningful. The way it's done is maybe needing tweaked, because you had the teams playing in the last night that knew exactly what they needed to do. So to solve that problem, you might have to work out a way that the teams play all at the same time. So they don't know, like Boston knew they had to go out and win by 23, was it? 24? 23, 24?
23, that was it, yeah.
And so they knew they had to go out and run up a score, which I found actually a little bit ironic when it was it Jason Tatum or
it was.
Yeah, they come out and says, I don't like the idea of running up scores like that. Then ironically they had to actually go out and do it and actually went out and did it. Although it does give me another team to detest a bit in the Bulls as a point. Yeah. We'll leave Vooch out of that, but a sudden new dislike for the Bulls. But yeah. Overall, I think it's a good idea, but it could do be maybe tweaking a bit.
Yeah, see the coach of the Celtics having to explain to the Bulls coach that
we're not being
disrespectful. We are chasing a score. That's why we're fouling. Was it Drummond that kept fouling?
Yeah,
I think it was Drummond. Andre Drummond that kept fouling. We're not being disrespectful. We are chasing a score. This is what we've got to do. I thought that was interesting because I don't think it's quite computed across to every team and the coach that there is this points differential. You know, we're very much used to goal difference or away goals counting in the sports that we have over here, and more so in Europe. I think it's a little bit more of a unknown quantity to American friends, and they don't think as a result they've quite got that idea with this tournament so far.
What was the game we were up about 40 in the tournament and he stuck the third string in, and I sat there and says to myself, is this, or he stuck them in really early, like 5-6 minutes to go, and I thought to myself, is this going to cost us with this points differential?
That was the Toronto game, I believe.
We also, I mean, we did it against Brooklyn when we lost, didn't we? And we did it to an element against Boston as well. The question that you've asked, G, I've been a real fan of this tournament. I think it's excellent. I hadn't took much notice of the format, I'll be honest, until kind of that fourth game where you realise that, hang on, we've now finished and everybody else in our group has got a game remaining. And as Angus has said, that's been a huge advantage to both Brooklyn and to Boston. Something I hadn't considered before. They knew what targets they needed. That being said, as we've just highlighted, the fact that we're not progressing is partly in down to ourselves, to be it coaching decisions made or be it players not recognising, particularly in that first instance, the Brooklyn game, that we were still playing for something at that point. My thoughts on reshaping it is that you bring in a four-team group. So you've got four groups in each conference, your teams. Does that work? No, it doesn't, does it?
No, you need 15 to be broken down into,
it's, you've got to try and figure out how to get an even number of teams in each group so as you can play that final group where all the teams that you have in that group play at the same time. So you can't have an odd number of teams. That's going to be very, very difficult to do with time zones that can be involved. Yep. And yep, the number of teams that we have, because breaking 30 down into a number of...
You looked at five groups of six is the only way I can see you breaking it down.
Yeah, that's... So it becomes a bit of a challenge because you've then got teams outside of their own conference playing one another. But personally, I would rather see... If there was some way of doing it, I'd rather see the top team from each group advance and none of this wildcard stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that would make sense. I did read on Twitter, I can't remember for the life of me who put the tweet out or the X message, whatever it was, but I really liked this idea, so apologies, I can't remember who it was, but the idea was to score it by quarter. So if you win a quarter, you get 1 point, you get 3 points for winning the match, and then you get bonus points for winning said quarters. If there was any ties, there's no extra points. There's no extra points for overtime or whatever. So literally, you know, you add the points then at the end. So there's an opportunity to win. You win three quarters, you know, or four quarters. You could have 7 points for that one game, and then to add it up with the same group formatting as we've got at the moment. Just another idea, and you know, I think people would be able to work out better where they were before the last game then, and give the opportunity for the team who doesn't play on the last day. You know, there wouldn't be as much of an unfair advantage with knowing what how many points they need to score.
Yep.
In a roundabout difficult, way. Sorry. Difficult to get that out.
difficult to work out a fair way to do it because of the number of teams that you have. Perhaps expand the league by two.
Yeah.
16 in each conference, 4 and 4.
Eight groups of four.
Yeah,
that makes the most sense, actually. There we go.
So that solves
your problem.
And I've got to be honest, I would like to see the league expanded. I would like to see another two teams come into it.
That'd be the Supersonics and the Vegas team then.
The problem is there, Angus, they're both out west. True. So you'd probably have, I think you'd have either Oklahoma or New Orleans looking at geography.
Texas isn't that far west, is it? Let's be honest.
That's it. So the result of this whole in-season tournament is that the Boston Celtics will face the Indiana Pacers in a 2-3 seed game in Indiana, with the Bucks facing the Knicks in the 1-4 matchup. As I mentioned, New York with the best runners-up points differential. So as the Magic won't be competing in the tournament any longer, we have been given two more games on the docket, which are the Cleveland Cavaliers on the road next Wednesday, the 6th of December, and then a home game against the Detroit Pistons on Friday, the 8th. So glass half full time, guys. We don't have to play, you know, really, really good teams. We get a kind of a bit of a gimme here in the Detroit Pistons. So it helps us in the long run, in the grand, you know, the regular season. Yes. Any thoughts on that one?
You've just cursed it. That's the first thought. Don't say that, G, please.
I just cannot believe. There was a hard and fast rule when I was in the police service that the thing you never said on a night shift was quiet. You were never allowed. If you said that, it was a cake fine minimum, I guarantee.
Yeah.
You never said those things.
But we're thinking them. We're thinking them, aren't we? No. Oh, you got to be thinking them. We should be beating the teams like the Detroit Pistons.
Well, I'll tell you about G. I said to you beforehand, I sat watching the Washington game last night, and before the game started, I went, if any game is going to knacker this run, this is it. That might just be the natural pessimist in me, but just having watched them for 2012 and you've seen occasional streaks, you just know they're going to throw a wobbler in there somewhere. But this team is different, thankfully. but it still sticks in your head that there's something going to happen silly.
It does. Yeah.
I'm firmly of the opinion that there is no such thing as an easy fixture in the NBA.
No.
Every team can play each other and win. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look at the last week, those two games that we've played, Charlotte and Washington, we're doing the teams a disservice if we say that they were easy opponents. Yes, we all thought that we'd get 2-0, but both of them have played hard, hung around. I know that the Washington game was probably done by the end of the third quarter. Neither team played that many of their starters in that final period. But every team can be dogged. They can hang around. You look at the number of times that we took a good lead against Washington and they came back.
Yep.
And I just feel that, yeah, Cleveland can be a tough opponent. 500 yes, record. They've lost. They've won the last two. Quality throughout the roster. 128 points they've just put on. Was it Atlanta, wasn't it? And that's no easy road game for us. And equally, the Cavs are on a four-game win streak over us. Detroit, I think you can argue that there's somewhat underperformed. I think we all expected a little bit better. I don't think I had them down as being that they're really pushing on this season. But they've got a lot of good players on that roster. And I did just have a little look because of it coming up and thinking of to what I was going to do for when the game preview rolls around. I didn't realise that neither team has swept that series since the 2015-2016 season, and that was then by Detroit. Since then, it's been a history of each team taking wins here and there. We have lost the last four in Detroit. Thankfully, we're at home. And we do tend to do better on home court, where we have won 10 of the last 13. So, yes, it's one that you do look at and think we should pick up a W there. But I don't think there's such a thing as an easy game in this league. I really don't. I do think it's a shame that they haven't picked up for national TV, though, with the two young teams going against one another.
No, absolutely.
Why pick the same boring thing?
Yeah, but I mean, the other chance would be, you know, Indiana on the road and then either the Knicks or the Bucks.
Yeah.
So you look at Detroit and you think, yeah, I'll take that.
It's definitely slightly easier than maybe the Knicks or the Bucks, but as I'm with Paul, nothing is ever a guarantee. Yeah. After having watched my football team for long enough, you know nothing is ever a guarantee.
Exactly. Yeah, I think Detroit is that one game where continually every season it comes to us sitting here and doing the predictions, and we always go, yeah, we'll beat Detroit. Yeah, of course we'll beat Detroit. Of course we shouldn't lose to Detroit. And the number of times where we come back and go, yeah, they played really well. I just can't say that that's an easy game for us. It's one of those games that we have a history of struggling with.
Yeah. Well, we'll come on to...
And let's be fair, last season we started in a similar manner to what they have done this season. Yep. And look how we finished. Let's hope that isn't the game where they turn the corner.
See, that's just true. To put a positive spin on something you said earlier, Paul, that I think you said Cleveland's got a four-game winning streak over us at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah.
Did the Bucks now have a 14-game winning streak?
Yeah, exactly, mate. We are taking those things down, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, we were a couple last season, and we've done the certainly the Bucks was the long running one that remained. So yes, mate, I quite agree with you.
Yeah. So you never quite know.
Exactly.
That's it. We'll come on to the predictions a little bit later, but let's just have a quick look at what we did in the last since the last podcast. So the Magic defeated the Charlotte Hornets by a score of 130-117 on Sunday night. For those of us who stayed awake. Paul Beacon.
Go on, G, tell the story.
It was an 11 o'clock tip-off time in the UK, so... Mikey's got early stats, so he doesn't stay up for them. And so Gary, myself, and Paul were conversing before the game, and he said, "All right, everyone's staying up." Yeah, we'll stay up. So we decided to use one of our little groups that doesn't include Mikey, so that he didn't see any sort of spoilers or anything. So he can watch the game as live when he wakes up. So Gary and I are talking throughout it, and I'm thinking, Paul's awfully quiet tonight. So
always got an opinion.
Yeah, we always got something to say. So I think I can't remember what point it was. So at the end of the first quarter, I'm thinking, I think we should take this conversation elsewhere, just because I think he might have fallen asleep. Halftime comes around. We get a text off Paul. Sorry, boys, fell asleep. I'm watching the halftime entertainment. I'm going to bed after that.
I'd seen the first 2 minutes and then got, I think there'd been an early timeout, mm-hmm. and I didn't see him come back out.
Yeah, so you watched it the next day, my friend, did you?
Yeah. Terrible for it, honestly.
Hope that wasn't a judgment on the first 2 minutes, Paul.
It was a cracking game, wasn't it? I just woke up in the chair about an hour later thinking, I'm not quite sure where I am. I said, I was watching the basketball. And then I see some bloke, I think it was the geezers with the lights. And
with the lights, yeah.
Yeah, they were great.
Very good.
That's the one benefit I sometimes get out of watching it, say, the next day, because I watch the Charlotte game the next day. I don't get to see the halftime entertainment, which to me sometimes is a benefit.
Oh, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Yeah.
As long as it's not Red Panda again.
Oh, you suffer, don't you, mate?
All the time. Every time I go, it's Red Panda. There we go. So, so going back to the game, Franz Wagner and Cole Anthony each paced the team with 30 points apiece. Cole Anthony getting a stat line of 30 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, and 1 block. Ironically, he joins Magic Johnson as the only player with that stat line or better from playing off the bench. So, Paul, I'll come to you on this one. Should Cole Anthony be considered for Sixth Man of the Year?
Here we go again. This is way too early. You see, Gary might have given a different answer here, but I'm just of that opinion that this is way too early, and I hope that as a fan base we aren't getting carried away with things, because it has been an amazing start and I'm loving riding the wave. We've said several times, I as a fan have not known this type of run for the Magic. So I'm absolutely loving it. The thing that sticks in my mind is that everyone mentions Utah as last season starting well and fading away. The one that doesn't get mentioned so much is the Pelicans last season. And at the end of 2 months, they were leading the Western Conference comfortably and finished 42-40 and ninth in the West. Mm. Now, I'm not being all doom and gloomy. I'm just trying to be not getting too high, not getting too low. So I'm not going to go overboard on this at this moment in time. But the odds are showing Cole as being somewhere around 4th to 6th. And certainly in certain places, you can get the same odds for Cole as Tim Hardaway Jr., Austin Reeves and Emmanuel Quickly, who are the kind of 3 leading candidates at this moment in time. Regardless of coming off the bench, Cole is a leader on this team. The bench he leads are, if not the best bench in the league, then I would consider them to be the second best bench unit in this league. Cole's personal stats, he's dropped out 28 assists over the last 5 games, which is 5.6 per game. His turnovers are very low. I think they're averaging just over 1 a game. His free throw percentage, sorry, not his percentage, he's hit 29 of 32 free throws in these last 5 games. His 3 points. He's hit 9 of 20. And then his field goals, his points per game, is averaging 21.2 per game. His lowest field goal percentage has been 35.3 in these 5 games. Everything else has been above 50%. The guy is producing really strong figures. He is the heart and soul of the team and the leader of the bench unit. His problem is going to be national attention.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
That's going to take an impact on anything that the Magic do. But that being said, if to qualify for these sorts of awards, as so often is said, you've got to be impactful on the team. The team has to have a winning record. Then those things have to go in his favour when you look at some of the other players, because he's certainly having a greater impact on our winning ratio from last season and our bench rating from last season than some of those leading candidates. But the national attention is the thing that's going to hurt him. But Cole has to be in that conversation.
You
just can't do anything but love the guy. Brilliant.
No, spot on there. I don't know if you listened to the Zach Lowe, what's it called? The Low Post podcast, that's it. He had Doris Burke on, and he announced, Zach did, you know, Jamal Mosley should win Coach of the Year. And he called it, you know, after, 17 games or so. Mm. Obviously, they didn't mention six man or anything like that. But, you know, they're starting to notice us a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's going the right way. It's going the right way.
The thing that he has in his favour on this particular type of award is that it is voted more on by, I think it's, again, players and the media rather than a popularity contest like getting into the All-Star and the public vote is to start with.
Oh, that's it. So the Washington... Yeah, absolutely, mate, absolutely. So the Washington Wizards game, guessing you both have watched it. I know Paul has because he finished it at lunchtime. I finished it a bit after that. So the Magic beat the Washington Wizards by a score of 139 to 120 last night. The points scored was the largest amount the Magic put up this season. Franz Wagner led the way with 31 points, playing only the first 3 quarters. Jalen Suggs scored, a season-high 22. So that's back-to-back 30-point games for Franz now, with obviously the Charlotte game also. So Angus, just want to know what your feelings are on how Franz has been playing these last 2 games. He's looked like a man on a mission, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's looking like he's going to be on an all-star material. I mean, 30 points a game, it would be really difficult to keep up, but his performance is brilliant. He looks like a man on a mission. And it's almost as if he's trying to carry the team. But the good thing about the team is we know if Franz doesn't do it, Paolo will do it. If Paolo doesn't do it, Cole will do it. If Cole doesn't do it, you'll get 5 or 6 of them with 16, 17, 18 points. You know you're not just stuck with the one man to look at all the time. But Franz right now is on a mission and he's trying his best to make himself right up there.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're getting contributions from all around the roster, aren't we? Goga Bitadze, Gary Harris, Jalen Suggs, everybody is chipping in. And obviously we've missed Jonathan Isaac these last 2 games. And I thought, you know, the defense hasn't been as up to scratch as we've been expecting weeks previous. It's not that, you know, sort of hop or bounce about the defense, and we know we can turn it up a notch. Anything to add to that, Paul?
One interesting thing I think that is going a little under the radar, Franz was on a mission, as we've said. He was so good in transition, driving to that basket. He was just taking whatever was offered. But that was the 18th straight game that the Magic have had 5 players or more scoring double digits.
Yeah, that's
it's a phenomenal stat. In this one, we've got Franz Wagner, Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs, Joe Ingles, and Mo Wagner. Paolo had an off night. What was it, 6 points, I think it was?
I think it was, yeah.
But we still had these players produce. 18th straight game, 5 players. And you know, you look at what the Magic's bench did. They outscored Washington comfortably.
Joe Ingles and the kids.
Right. Substitute teacher, what a comment. Jeez, I was rolling at that.
Brilliant. That was brilliant. This is, yeah, I think yourself, Paul, said Cole's like the heart of the team, and that just kind of proves what we've got in him.
Yeah, absolutely right. This winning run, there's been 4 occasions in the 8 that we've conceded 116 points or more, and that has seen our points per game conceded take a hit. What has been encouraging is in those games where the defence hasn't been as it should be in the first half, they've gone off, they've refocused, they've come back out, and they've gone, right, back to it and see what we can do. It's not come off every time, but last night you looked at it and thought, you've picked it up, and you've... The only problem with last night's game, the Washington game, was that we fouled too much. We gave them opportunity at the free throw lines, and we were the architects of our own troubles by the number of turnovers. I know that they are a team that force turnovers, that is part of their offensive makeup. But there were one or two where you looked and thought, oh, come on, that's just poor. That's just, you've not looked at what's available here.
It's the daft ones that are annoying, Paul.
And they're the ones that don't let you get back into
a
defensive set. They're the ones that hurt.
Yep.
And that's the reason that we are still suffering on points off of turnovers.
What I liked, the impression I got last night when they came out, at kind of end of the third into the fourth, it was like, right, okay, Washington, you've had your fun now. It's your turn. This is what we really like. And that ran up the difference enough to make you feel more comfortable. Because
I think Paolo didn't play at all in the final quarter. I don't think Goga did.
I think France sat the final quarter as well.
I think France played about a minute. I'm not sure. Right. He was. If he did play, it was only a minimal cameo. I can't think who the other one who didn't feature at all was. Might have been Jalen Suggs didn't play in the fourth quarter. They equally sat people. I mean, you never saw Gafford come out for the where you'd expect to see players brought back in for that final run.
Make a run,
Then you didn't see your Kuzmas and your Gaffords. And I don't think Jordan Poole featured in the final quarter either. Come back out because we'd done it. We'd won.
Yeah. Is it just me or does Jordan Poole look like he should be a relic for the 70s? It's just me.
I still don't understand how he got that contract.
Yeah, no.
I don't understand how he got that contract.
No.
Yeah.
And it's what I'm liking the new is the way Big Goga's playing. I mean, I like my centres, like I like my centre halves. Big, do the job you're supposed to do and do nothing fancy. Defend the rim at our end and slam dunk at the other. Big Goga just suits me to a T.
Yeah, with Goga, you know, obviously, I think last year we kind of, no, I think at Indiana, they sort of said to him, do what Miles Turner does and almost stick around the perimeter a little bit and you can shoot the three. He can shoot the three. We saw it at the back end of last season. But what he does well is he's just an irritant down low on the in the block.
Yeah.
And, you know, just go and get those offensive rebounds, set the screens, roll with you, you know, on the pick and rolls and just finish around the basket. And he's done that so well.
Oh, yeah.
He's been a fantastic pickup for the Magic. And, you know, people are, you know, obviously when Wendell comes back, people are asking, you know, do you change it back? And I know you guys talked about it on the pod last week. But I think, you know, ultimately you've got to go back to Wendell. But it's just so good knowing that you've got a player like Goga right there in the wings. If Wendell gets into foul trouble or, you know, just want to change it up a little bit, get a bit of energy. He's been absolutely brilliant as Goga.
You know what sums up what I'm looking at, the way the team is and in the depth? I wouldn't be overly disappointed if the bench five started. When you consider the starting five we've had years previous, that's something to say. If you think to yourself, well, I reckon I could plug in my bench five and not be worried about it.
Every one of those bench five, every one of that unit has got starters minutes on a regular basis in previous seasons. Whether
and
it's
they've
with
all
us,
been starters. Yeah.
Whether it's with us or whether it's elsewhere, they've all had significant starting minutes. Gary Harris at Denver, you know, I think probably aside, Mo's had his starting minutes with us. Granted, most of that time it was down as a result of injuries, but his experience of starters minutes. So, you know, then you look at your Cole.
Isaac.
Jonathan Isaac, yeah. You've got to say, that bench unit is a phenomenal weapon to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if the starters aren't playing, you know the bench
Ingles
is going to come in. Exactly. And you look at their
somebody
bench.
Somebody had not mentioned Joe Ingles. Yeah.
All-time leader in three-point field goals for Utah Jazz. You know, he's played a lot of games, a lot of minutes, a lot of experience. Yeah, if the starters are struggling, you know that bench unit's coming in and you know they're going to, you know, get you back into the game or just extend the lead. That confident in that bench unit.
Yeah.
So,
I'm loving them.
Absolutely brilliant.
I loved that last night when nearly in the fourth quarter when they showed you a replay of Joe Ingles scoring a basket and Mr. Turner said, yes, this is actually in real time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brilliant.
The guy's brilliant. Great. I think I was delighted when we picked him up anyway.
Yeah.
And okay, perhaps the shooting hasn't been what we expected initially. But you've got to remember, I think you've got to allow that somebody's coming into a new system from a system he's been used to. His role has slightly changed from that at Utah. But the guy's just a complete irritant to the opponents.
Yeah.
And he is a superbly experienced voice for anyone on our team to listen to. And you can see he saved us a few technical fouls.
Yeah,
you've seen that, and you've seen him. He's always got something to offer to any player, whatever the position, as a little piece of advice. He's in people's ears.
Yep.
Love the guy.
See, listening to what he said at halftime with Dante, the first thought I immediately had was, "You're going to make a great coach."
Mm. But he's a prime example of, if you just read the box score, you don't see his contribution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do you know what? I'm really looking forward to the time we get to see either Mo or Joe, you know, because they're both irritants, aren't they? Getting under the skin of somebody. We haven't really seen it as yet, have we? We've seen odd little moments, but nothing like, you know, Mo and Doncic last season. And, you know, I've seen Ingles do it in the past. And, you know, before he joined the Magic, he was one of my least favourite players, but now he's fast becoming one of my favourite players. So, yeah, love him, love him. After the Charlotte game, so we jumped ahead a little bit, Paolo Banchero was named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. For the first time in his career, he's the 13th player to earn the Player of the Week accolade in Magic history and the first player to do it since November 17th, 2019, before COVID times, which was done by Nick Vucevic. So, Angus, first of many for Paolo, do you feel, my friend?
I think he will get more awards like that, yeah, definitely, because he's just the type of player he is. People are going to notice him. And he's just going to, when he turns it on like that, people are going to go, oh, who's, well, they're not going to go, who's this? They know who he is now. And more awards are definitely coming his way.
Yeah. In fairness, Franz Wagner was also nominated for it. And I was actually thinking Franz is probably in the running this week at the moment to get it next week. So fingers crossed we can close this next game out. He can put up another 30 piece and he might be in with a good shout. So as it stands, the Magic are 13-5 in the Eastern Conference on an 8-game winning streak and currently sit second in the East behind the Boston Celtics. So we see weekly, you know, you get your power rankings. So as the Magic finished last week 4-0 before the Washington game, I thought I'd take a look at how some of the sites are ranking the Magic. So I've just picked three, and I just want to get your guys' thoughts. So Hoops Hype had the Magic in eighth out of the in the whole association. NBA.com had a seventh, and The Ringer had us in 14th. But a small disclaimer on The Ringer: they said it was based on title odds only. So, Paul, do you think the league's starting to wake up and see what we've been saying for the past 12 to 18 months? You know, we've seen glances of it. We've seen, you know, players perform, you know, in snippets, because obviously we've had all these injuries. Do you think they're waking up to us, mate?
I think it's fair to say, how can the league not do with the record that we have so far? And I do think it's important to say so far. But we've taken wins over high-profile teams, the Lakers, the Bucks, Nuggets, Celtics, if you want to just focus on them. But surely you've got to include teams like the Pacers in there as well, who at the time we faced them had, I'm not sure if they still do, but they certainly had then, the number one offensive rating in the league.
They still do. I saw Miami Heat UK post earlier to say they've got the best offense. How are we going to win tonight? So they still got it.
So yeah, you've got to take notice of that. I think our stats, you know, I know I can bang on about stats, but I think sometimes they show where you are in just a very simple way. And I bang on about them. I know I do in each game preview that I do. But what you are noticing is that the stats that we're producing, and particularly in this run, our franchise history is being challenged. Some of those records that have stood for quite a while, and some of the runs that we've had, are starting to be challenged. And the teams that they are, that this group of players are putting together, the stats that they're putting together, is beginning to tie up with some of our greatest teams. I'm not saying that they're there yet. That's not what I'm saying. But you look at the runs. If you're talking about this 8-game run, if you get the 9th game, what if we go beyond it? You look at that, where I've said about the 18 games of 5 players or more scoring double digits. There's various other ones that I've got that are going to be forming part of tomorrow night's game preview for the Washington Wizards again. I've got to try and produce something different. I can't just read the same thing from last night for the next game. Yeah, so I've took a bit of a and tried to find a little bit of something different. But we have players appearing in multiple leader categories across the NBA. You know, I keep mentioning Jalen Suggs, but there's Franz, Paolo, Jalen, Cole, and Mo are all making people look at us. And Franz, Paolo, Jalen, and Goga all appear in lists of the top 20 of this, that, and the other for the league so far this year. They're players that are deserving attention, and they're players that are deserving people taking notice of what this squad is actually starting to produce, and what the front office and Coach Mosley are about. You know, there's also players like Goga that I'm not going to say have given up on, but moved away from. You know, they allowed him to move on, and he's taken an opportunity, and he's showing people what he's actually capable of when he's allowed to play. I think it had to come. We've all been saying for a long while as Magic fans that we've not been getting either the credit or the attention that was deserved. Paolo didn't get it in his rookie season. The run that we put together back end of last season didn't get it. And there's multiple players have been slept on. And far too many players have been... just because of injury, he's trash.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned it at the top of the show, really. You know, the league had an opportunity now with these two new scheduled games to put on, you know, teams who were playing well, like the Magic, maybe against the Cavs and that. But they decided to put Victor Wembanyama on again, probably the 20th time this season, as the, what, 3-14 Spurs or something to that effect, on again. So, but guys, where do you think we should be ranking in these power rankings of the 30 teams? I mean, for me, I'm thinking probably, you know, top five at least, based upon our runs, the way people are playing. Obviously, you know, they're going to, the national media, they're going to have your Bostons up there. They're going to have your Denvers up there, teams that they expect to have, and they are near the top of their conferences. So for me, top five, you know, isn't far from it. But, you know, 14th, 7th, 8th, maybe there's a little bit of disrespect there. What do you think, Angus?
I think immediately you were asking Paul that question and you were given the rankings, I thought 7th and 8th is possibly about fair. But that's possibly because I'm thinking I want this team to fly under the radar. So there's no too much pressure put on them now. I mean, it sounds like a double-edged sword, but if they fly under the radar and they can play without pressure and play when they're enjoying it and play to the best of their ability without people going, oh, you should win this game. I think it make them a better team. Obviously, if they keep going and keep going and keep going, they're going to get more attention. But I always like a team that's doing well, but people are just saying, they're only the Magic and that, and not really paying attention. So that's why I think I'm happy with 7th. I think 14th is a little disrespectful. I think 7th, I'm quite happy with 7th, sitting 7th or 8th. Just kind of bubbling under, if you like.
Yeah. Paul?
Slight caveat, I don't understand how off these things are drawn up. I'm not going to lie. I can't pretend. I think, is there a team on a better run in the league than the Magic at this moment in time?
No.
If that's the answer, then how is there anybody, as far as power rankings, higher?
And you've beaten Boston, Denver within the last three or four games.
Yeah. So, and in that period of time that this has been, that we're talking about here, the last 10 games, you've also taken down, as we've said, the number one offence in the league and held them to a relatively small number of points compared to what they regularly score. I would also put, I know that not everybody's a fan of them, but I would also put Toronto in there because of what we actually did to Toronto. As I said in last week's episode, the defensive performance that we put on against Toronto, teams don't generally do that to them. They don't hold them to so few points. They don't hold them to the number of categories that we kept them low at. They didn't get anywhere near the numbers that you expect for a Toronto team. I don't understand how they are made up, these power rankings. I don't see how, if there's nobody on a better run, we aren't classed as higher. I can understand if you've got Boston above us, even though we beat them. I can understand if Boston are above us because, let's be honest, I know we're on a nice little run against them and we seem to have the number at this moment in time. But if we were playing a 7-game series in the playoff, we wouldn't be favourites. And only the most optimistic of Magic fans would say, oh, no, we can take this 4-0, we can sweep them.
Well, we've beat them the last four times, my friend.
Exactly, I understand that.
Sweep,
exactly.
I get the broom out.
So I can understand them being above us. I can understand potentially Milwaukee, who, is it Milwaukee
again,
or Philadelphia? Yeah. But I can't remember if it's Milwaukee or Philadelphia that our record is actually tied. I think it's Milwaukee.
Technically,
we are above them in the league because of holding so far the tiebreaker by having beaten them. But if you want to, I can understand them being above us potentially. There's teams clearly score more than us. So if you're talking about those sorts of things, if they are a factor, then yes, I can understand certain other teams being there. But there can't be another team that's moved up from, what were we, 28th offensive record to, I think we're now, where are we now?
Before last night, I think we were 15.
I've just wrote down where we are. We are now the league's 14th points per game and 17th offence rating. So we've moved up massively. I don't believe there's another team who've moved up 11, 12 positions.
No, I mean, categories. We haven't been top 20 for 10, 11, 12 years.
No. So it doesn't make sense to me, but I like you, G. I think if you were asking me at this moment in time, I'd probably put us fifth, sixth. I think seventh is probably fair also. You can make arguments for, I guess, some of the teams that are above us. And if we are talking championship odds, are there many other teams that you would fancy other than a certain three or four to actually have?
You've got three in the East, four in the West or so.
I wouldn't even go three in the East, mate, personally. I'm still not sold. If you're including Philly, I'm still not sold on them.
The problem with these rankings is that we don't have what the media and such like consider a superstar.
That's basically it, isn't it?
I've said this before and I'll say it again. The Magic are a perfect example of the collective parts being more than greater than some of the individual. They are a team and as such scare the hell out of a lot of others because if we're not overreacting to a single star, we're defending that star well. But we're not overreacting, so we're not seeing fringe player like we've had in the years gone by, where you, how many times, G, have you said, I can't believe such and such has gone off on us?
Where
that player who can get hot on a night has all of a sudden registered his all-time games points total against us. We're not seeing that this season.
No, we're not. No, you're quite right there. So let's just kiss of death here. Winning streak.
Moving on.
All right, if you skip this section. As Paul's mentioned, records are there to be broken, and the team is nearing the franchise record for consecutive games won. The Magic have done this on three separate occasions previously, but never actually won the 10th game. So this could be on the cards with a victory against Washington. And then we faced the Brooklyn Nets on Saturday night, I believe. So what's impressed you, Angus, about this, run we've put together?
It started with a great defense, which was holding teams. How many teams did we hold to under 100? Must have been a few of them.
Oh, there's been quite a few. I think we led the league in holding teams under 100, I believe. Yeah.
And even when you came to the last couple of games when the defense wasn't quite as good, the offense went, right, we need to back up the guys that were doing it for us. And that's scored 120, 130, 139 or so last night.
139 last night, yeah.
That's what's impressing me. We're not over-reliant on any one thing. We know if one thing doesn't work, something else will work. It's a team as opposed to it's all offense or it's all defense. And playing like that, I'm fairly confident we're going to keep going. And as I hope, I've no cursed it, as maybe we were talking about earlier.
My friend.
It's one of the things. It's an all-round team thing that's impressed me the most. And when you see them, you see glimpses of what happens just before the game and things like that. They're all involved. They're all talking to each other. Cole leads the huddle, if you like. I'm thinking they're going, this team is going somewhere.
Yeah.
And he asked your question, Angus, six times. Six times in 18 games, we've held teams to under 100 points.
Good.
It's impressive. So I was going to ask you boys about the next two games, but I think I'll just move that along to the whole prediction so we can get it all nice, wrapped up nice and neatly in one. So we're recording our next podcast on Saturday, the 9th of December. So before then, the Magic will play four times. So that would be the game against the Washington Wizards, which is Friday night US, Saturday morning UK. So a midnight tip for us here. Then we face the Brooklyn Nets on, which would be Saturday evening in the US, Sunday morning in the UK. Again, a midnight tip. Then the two games that have been sort of put in this week is at Cleveland on Wednesday night or Thursday morning UK, midnight. And then the last one is against the Detroit Pistons on Friday night, US, or Saturday morning UK. Again, a 7 Eastern or a midnight tip-off. So, guys, predictions for these four games, and if you can go in order so we can see how far we'd get with this streak. So let's go with Angus first. Glass half full, Angus. Come on, mate.
Right. I really, really want to say 4-0, but I think it's 3-1. And it's a toss-up. It's a toss-up. The two that give me the fear are Brooklyn and Cleveland. One of the two, I think, will lose. I can't. If you're going to ask me which one, I can't decide.
Yeah, gun to your head, mate.
Gun to your head, I think the one that gives me the fear the most is Brooklyn, unfortunately, which would kill the run. For some strange reason, I think the Brooklyn one gives me the fear. So we'll go 3-1 and lose to Brooklyn.
Okay. Sizzling bacon.
We equal the run. We beat Washington. But that's... It's not an easy game. It's still going to be a difficult, hard-fought game. They will come out wanting to stop us. They will come out wanting to show that they've got a little more than we saw from them. And as well, it's always difficult to beat a team two games running in the regular season. But I think we will. Brooklyn... just scares the hell out of me for some reason. This season, the Brooklyn team is not what it was. That big swing didn't work, but they still have some very nice pieces and they can find a good rhythm and chemistry on a night, as unfortunately we saw in the in-season tournament. Flip of a coin. I really struggled with this one. I think we'll lose. I think
I was just about to shout confidence.
I think we're losing Brooklyn, mate. I think we equal the run and have that moment. It was so close. I think we lose by only... I can see it being a couple of points either way. Cleveland, yeah. I do somehow fancy us to break that run. I think if we win in Brooklyn, I think we win in Cleveland. And if we lose in Brooklyn, I think there's every chance we could lose in Cleveland as well.
So it's either 4-0 or 2-2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bugger it, 4-0.
Yeah, I like it.
Bugger it.
Well, we should beat Washington. I won't say any more of that. You guys have covered that. I think we'll beat Brooklyn. I did have them 13th in the East at the beginning of the season, and I don't see how they're doing so well, to be honest with you. I watched that Toronto game. You know, we're all willing Toronto to win. No. Just Royce O'Neal and Spencer Dinwiddie just coming up. You know, they're, you know, journeyman, really. I think they'd be focused wanting to get that one. Obviously, it's a back-to-back, which is a bit of a shame.
That's the other thing that troubles me.
Yeah, back-to-back. Especially in fact, back-to-back.
I'm changing. I can't go 4-0 because of my prediction record. I'm awful at them. 2-2.
Do 2-2 and we can hope for the best. Yeah. All right, cool.
I'm taking one for the team here, lads.
Yeah. I'm going to go... Well, so I was going through the game. So I'm 2-0 at the moment. Cleveland, they're just... You know, Jarrett Allen is good defensively. Mobley's good. Mitchell's good. I think we could have maybe one of those nights at Cleveland. So I'll say we drop the Cleveland game and then I think we beat the Detroit Pistons. So I'll go 3-1. And obviously we beat the record by, you know, a game. But hope, obviously, we extend this record to be, how much would it be then? 12 games. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? That'd be nice. So anything anymore for any more guys?
I'm sticking with 2-2 though.
2-2. Okay. Stick with the 3-1, Angus.
3-1. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Excellent. So thank you, Angus, for joining us. You know, obviously, it was one of the perks of being a Patreon, and you know, we hope you're enjoying everything that you get with it. You know, the monthly calls that we have and whatnot, and you know, you're always in with a chance for the prize. So, which will be ironically, it'll be drawn because obviously this podcast won't be released until the 1st of December. So, if you're in the Patreon, look out for the prize draw. I'll be posting that as soon as we can. So, thanks for coming, though, Angus.
It's been awesome, man, having you.
And we look forward to, hopefully, we were talking before the podcast about, you know, the next time we have a big group meetup in Orlando. Let's hope, you know, we can all get there about the same time, but you know, let's keep the conversations going. We can do some, and if we can, if you like this episode, please subscribe and give it a thumbs up. If you're watching on YouTube, leave us your comments or questions. We'll always try and answer all of them. If you're listening to this episode, please leave us a review and share this with other Magic fans. It really does help us grow the show. If you can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and X or Twitter, all @_ Let's Talk Magic. So thank you for listening and watching. From Paul, Angus, and myself, until next time, go Magic.